We continue now with our discussion about two folks who work at Olympic National Park in the northwest corner of the state of Washington and the continental United States, for that matter. Our guests today are the Public Information Officer of Olympic National Park, Barb Maines, and Ranger Dan Pontbrian, a Lake District Ranger and leader of the investigation into my disappearance that, to everyone's relief, was successful. Well, last we were talking about the search and rescue effort, and I guess one of the things we should talk about that, yeah, I was kind of stupid for taking a trail and not having the knowledge of how to read a topo map, and going alone and bushwhacking for the first time is not a bright thing. Thank God it turned out okay. But this is not all the story of a stupid man. Please come to my defense here. I did some smart things, too. Why don't we talk about that?
You did. You left some very valuable clues. A couple things. You made some good decisions. One is you didn't give up, obviously. You wanted to survive this situation. And you had the 10 essentials of backpacking. You had good gear with you. It was fairly new gear. You knew how to use it. And you left a lot of clues. The SOS, obviously, was a gigantic clue.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. I actually put an SOS in bark and twigs and stones in the snowfield and used my boot, to scrape away the pine needles so that it stood out. There was more of a contrast. I also put a cross above that, and not all the media was reporting that, which is an interesting kind of take on this. A lot of interesting things to come out of this. You know, you learn a lot about people when they give you advice, like never go alone, or don't go in the wilderness, or don't do this, or don't do that. You learn a lot about them when they suggest that kind of thing. But an SOS in the snowfield, which made it not only visible from the sky, but also because of the fact that I made it stand out by scraping away the pine needles and sort of a radius around it, or sort of a halo, Jack Hughes, I guess the gentleman's name, the helicopter pilot, realized that hadn't been there for 2 years. That was relatively recent.
It was. We weren't able to take a real close look at that on Sunday night when it was discovered because of the weather conditions and the time of the day and a few other things, but we did take a close look at that first thing Monday morning, and then, of course, it was shortly thereafter that we found you down along the creek in Shuffle Creek. But that made us focus on a particular area. It told us to pool our resources on one special spot. We knew that was a hot clue. We knew that you had put that there.
So there was some intelligence going in terms of leaving clues.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we knew that because of your subject profile, it was a potential that you would probably try and hike down a creek, down the drainages. And in the Olympics, that's a classic mistake. Hiking down the drainages, you have to stay on the ridges. That's one of the things about hiking in the Olympics. If you hike the drainages, clearly you're going to get into trouble. You'll cliff out, you'll hit a waterfall, you run into dense, deep vegetation that's not negotiable.
I came into some waterfalls along Cat Creek that were to my left and across the creek, and when I realized what I was above, I realized it was not a good place to start going down. And as it turns out, I think there was a 40 or 50 foot drop from where I was hanging without my feet on anything solid from branches. So there are waterfalls in Cat Creek.
There absolutely is. A very dangerous place to be.
And that's one of the things that's kind of risky. You know, everybody hears, and, you know, everybody's grown up in this country, you know, with any knowledge of the outdoors, you hear, if you're lost, follow a creek, and you'll eventually end up at a road or a house or a town. And maybe in some areas of the country that works, but it really doesn't work in the Olympics. If you keep on following it, eventually, yes, you will. If you make it, you will reach a road somewhere. But the chances of getting into serious trouble going over a waterfall or falling are so high that in the Olympics, you just shouldn't do that.
You just shouldn't do that. And that was part of my profile. Tell us about how you determined that.
Well, a lot of people from the eastern part of the United States, and I'm one of them, that's one of the things that I was taught. As a Boy Scout and as a trip leader, if you do get lost or in trouble, follow a drainage out, and it'll eventually take you to a larger river or a road somewhere. And in the Olympics, that is true, but the terrain is so difficult and so rough that you really need to follow the ridges out. So that's one thing we try to explain to people is follow the ridges.
So you knew that was part of my profile.
We knew that was part of your profile.
How did you determine that?
Because you're originally from Chicago, and we knew your background, and We did a pretty extensive subject profile. We know more about you than you probably know about yourself.
I think more about me than I would care for you to know, as a matter of fact.
You have no secrets, Paul.
I know. Well, let's not talk about them on the radio, for crying out loud. All right, so we're talking about a $15,000 investigation. Where does all that money go? First of all, thank you for not billing me. That's proof that there is a God right there. If I had any doubts after this, when I was told I wasn't going to have to pay that, I would have to pay the $29 for my backcountry permit and all the nights I stayed, but not the $15,000. Thank you very much. If I had 15 grand, I'd be out of debt. But that's a whole other story. $15,000, that seems like a lot of money.
Helicopter time and overtime for the rangers involved in the search. And I might add that there are a lot of people that are involved in search and rescue who aren't paid anything. They're volunteers. And they need all the recognition they can. And I'd like to say just for a moment here, thank you for all the volunteers and all the people who participate in search and rescue missions around the United States for your volunteerism, because missions like this couldn't possibly be accomplished without their efforts and without their dedication to trying to help other people out.
What does the bumper sticker say? Support search and rescue. Get lost. I saw that just the other day. $15,000. You know, a lot of jurisdictions are beginning to say, you have to pay for this.
That's correct. In the state of Colorado, you can buy a hiking pass. And the hiking pass is $1. And if you should become lost, the state of Colorado pays for your search and rescue mission. But in this state, we haven't gotten quite that far yet. In this case, the National Park Service paid for your search and rescue, and it comes out of a general budget in Washington, D.C. that's dedicated towards maintenance functions. It's a big pool of money that the Park Service maintains for special kinds of missions just like this.
Excellent.
So there is this pool of money that we can dip into for missions just like this one.